And we are rolling into Ram Roundup. The CB and Potts Ram Roundup on CSU Athletics is brought to you each week by CB and Potts Restaurant at the Collindale Golf Course in Fort Collins, home of the Jay Norvell Show. CB and Potts, a Colorado tradition. And on that note, we bring in one of our favorites. He's Justin Michael. Follow Matt Justin T. Michael. You can read and listen to him at DNVR underscore Rams. DNVR CSU coverage. Love what they do down there. Good morning and happy Thanksgiving to you, Justin.
Good morning, man. It's great to be back on. Hope you guys all had a good holiday.
Very good. Very good. It's been a week-long holiday. We have such a complicated extended family that on Saturday we had everybody in before all of the different married couples and the grandkids and all the different ways people get pulled on Thanksgiving Day. Well, so we could get about 50 of us or more together then. And then, of course, the immediate family we did get together on Thanksgiving Day yesterday. And it was a good day, excuse me, on Thursday. It was a good day yesterday for the CSU Rams, finishing the first season in the Jay Norvell era on a high note, beating a team they should beat and getting win number 3 over New Mexico.
Yeah, it was great to see. I mean, obviously New Mexico's a struggling program, and, you know, you've got to factor in the quality of competition and all that. But as you alluded to, you know, it's a game they should have won, the type of game, you know, you have to win if you're this type of program. And for the 12th straight time, CSU was able to come out on top over New Mexico. The defense played lights out. And that's, I think, what was great to see more than anything, is the defense really outside of Boise State played really well in conference play and gave this team at least a position to be competitive, if not really should have won 5 or 6 league games. So for them to get to go out with a shutout for Daquan Jackson, a guy who'd been here for 5 years, 3 coaches, to get to end with a 100 tackle season, I thought that was really nice, especially after everything these guys have been through.
Yeah, I agree. And he'd been through quite a bit, pandemic, whatever, and he stayed the course. He stayed here through all the coaching changes and all of the consternation under some of the coaches. He is a player that I think people will remember through the years. It was senior day. A whole bunch of seniors got honored, and some of them, I guess, could come back, but they're offered the opportunity to take part in senior day just in case. Is there anybody else? Well, Matt, remember Daquan a little bit for us and tell us, is there anybody else you think who's a senior who for senior day that we will think of going forward?
I think the two main ones at this point would be, you know, Daquan and then Cameron Carter, his fellow running mate at linebacker. Both had been there for 5 years, both been under multiple staffs. But, I mean, Cameron kind of struggled with this defensive shift when Freddie Banks came in. I was actually 3rd on the depth chart in the spring, got buried below a walk-on, Drew Kulik, who started over him in the first game. And Cameron, you know, he didn't leave. He stuck with it and ended up having a really stellar season alongside Daquan. So I think just those two and what they represent and staying home, you know, and staying with this program when everyone else was jumping ship, I think that's going to carry a lot of weight with the Rams fans. Not to say that they have, like, ill will towards some of the guys that left, you know, like Ajon Vivens, Dante Rice, and these guys. They were great Rams and had solid careers here. But I do think for these guys that stay, it gives you a little bit more cachet within the community. And I do think that in the transfer era that maybe players kind of lose sight of that, you know, like you play at a school for 2, 3 years, maybe even 4 years, and you go off somewhere else. And then when it's done, it's like you have no home. Daquan's going to come back to Fort Collins for the rest of his life and be beloved. And I think that's really cool. I think that's what, you know, college sports are supposed to be about.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's very nicely said as well. His team was struggling, had far less numbers than they started the season expecting to have available to get on the field. The team did seem to be getting closer to playing better ball when they lost 24-12 to a very good Air Force team. And I guess there were 17 seniors who we celebrated yesterday. But the thing that surprises me most is you had a freshman quarterback who had never started a game before, then gets hurt and injured, and yet at the end of this season, where the offense clearly did not keep up with the defense, as you've already mentioned, 1,131 yards passing, the 8th largest passing total in the history of Colorado State football. Is that correct?
Yeah, he had the best completion percentage, which, you know, it's one of those where those numbers can be a little bit misleading, because when you look at some of the best completion percentage quarterbacks of all time, and then you look at the success of their offense and their team as a whole, it doesn't always correlate. But I do think for Clay, what's encouraging about this is it demonstrates an understanding of the system, what they're trying to operate, and good decision-making. You know, for a freshman quarterback, I really would say there were three, maybe four throws all year where I kind of, you know, face-palmed and you're like, oh, God, that's just an 18-year-old doing 18-year-old things. But, you know, I think it's just a testament to his maturity. And, I mean, you see some of the big throws. He had a couple of really gorgeous touchdown throws yesterday, and one on an up-and-out where he evaded the pass rush and hit Torrey Horton down the sideline, too. Like, the guy's got a legit arm. The numbers show that, you know, he can do some good things. They've just got to build on it. You know, it's tough to be super stoked when you go 12 games without scoring 20 points. I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, as encouraging as it is, they clearly have plenty of room for growth. But we knew that's how it was going to be. I mean, they had 59 scholarship players in that win over New Mexico.
Yeah, and that's why it's surprising to see the numbers that were put up. I mean, let's face it, where this season started to fall apart was really with the offensive line and the protection of Millen, who did get hurt and did get hit quite a bit and got sacked quite a bit. At one point, both the offensive tackles were out. They lost their starting left tackle, I think, for the whole season early, right? It's been a war of attrition there. And, of course, Millen missed games, and yet... It was a pleasure watching him play with Torrey Horton, and yesterday had a 41-yard touchdown pass in the 17-0 win. That was special.
They got some legit talent. I mean, when you look at what some of these high-end players are capable of doing, I do think there's legitimate reason for optimism if you're a CSU fan. But it's just the lack of depth right now. Norvell's been pretty honest about that. He's like, you know, it's hard to practice the way we want. It's hard even in-game. He's like, there are times where we're playing guys and we want to play them, but maybe they make a decision that we don't like. Maybe they mess up in a scenario where you would normally, you know, pull them off the field for a little bit, talk to them. The Rams couldn't do that. They just basically, like, these were the guys they had that played on offense. These are the guys that they played on defense. There's going to be highs. There's going to be lows. And we saw that. But, you know, like you mentioned, when you see Millen, when you see Horton making plays, you're like, all right, you know, there's something to build around here.
Yeah, and one of the things that's going to be a pleasure, and we'll probably get in depth maybe on next year's team at some future point, but watching next year, Torrey Horton's back. Clay Millen will just be a sophomore. Avery Morrow, the running back who emerged from the pack and is a talent, at running back next year, and I guess we can expect a reloaded offensive line. So there is some excitement for the future.
Definitely, you know, like you said, all those guys are coming back. You got to play a lot of freshmen this year that, you know, would not have gotten the type of playing time they did under normal circumstances. They'll benefit from that. They'll hit the ground running probably sooner, you know, than they would had otherwise. Guys like Justice Ross Simmons, you know, true freshman out of Inglewood, he had 3 touchdowns this year. These guys can make plays, and then I think even more so is, you know, when you look in on the defensive side, Jack Howell, Henry Blackburn, Aiden Hector, who made a couple of plays yesterday, all those guys are back. You have a possibility to get Muhammad Kamara back. If they can get him back, that'd be huge because he's an NFL edge rusher. Same thing with Chigozie Anuzium, starting corner that came over from Cal. Like, there's a real possibility that, you know, 15, 16 of these major contributors over the last 8 weeks, the guys that they were playing more competitive football with, are going to be back next year. And if that's the case and you can revamp this offensive line and, you know, you can add a couple of mixes, they're going to sign, you know, upwards of 40 kids. You know, maybe you bring in some JUCO transfers, some Power 5 transfers that can work into the mix. They've got some guys to work with. I'm pleasantly intrigued. I would say, despite the fact that they finished 3-9, I think you feel a lot better going into the offseason than you have at any point in the last 4 or 5 years.
That makes sense to me. And, you know, what presupposes, what the underlying theme here underneath this conversation is that unlike some previous coaches, perhaps, there is a tremendous buy-in from the guys who didn't bail, who did stay, that Jay Norvell is as likable as he seemed when he was hired.
That's certainly the impression that I get. And like, you know, coaching is going to be complicated. There's always going to be, you know, some relationships where some guys don't like him, most guys do. But I think when you look at how hard this Rams team played over that final 2 months, once they got some of those guys out of here that didn't really want to be a part of it, you could tell they were playing for each other. They were playing hard, even in the tough games. Like, that's significant. There were a lot of Rams teams over the years that, you know, I watched kind of start the year playing competitive football and they lose one tough game and it was like the life just kind of got sucked out of them. That never happened with this team. And, you know, they fell short in a couple of games, and that was a bummer, but that's just kind of what young teams do. I really do think the buy-in is there, and I think Norvell's investing in the community, and I think the community's investing in him. And for the first time, you know, probably since early Bobo, late McElwain, it feels like, all right, you know, maybe the Rams could really do something here in these next couple of years.
Well, good analogies. Early Bobo, late McElwain. Like it. Hey, in our last minute here, the basketball team's had ups and downs. It's a very different year than last year. Part of it because they're trying to replace Isaiah Stevens at point guard until he's fully healthy. Do we have any prognostication on when he might be back? And is it get well time today when they host Mississippi Valley State?
Yeah, they should certainly get back on track today after kind of a tough showing against Penn State last week. Last weekend, I think, was just an example of what this team is, and they're talented but inexperienced. You know, and at moments, they're going to look really good like they did against South Carolina in a very impressive victory there. And then they're going to kind of struggle in some of those moments where it gets tighter, and I think that's really where they struggle not having Isaiah Stevens is just somebody that can – facilitate and, you know, create for others when the shots aren't falling. But I like this team. I think they're athletic. I do think they have a lack of size that's really going to hurt them against some of the higher end teams in this non-conference slate, and certainly the Mountain West. San Diego State looks great, but Isaiah Stevens, the hope is around New Year's ish but they don't have like an official timeline as of yet because they just don't want to rush him.
Well, hey, Justin, thank you for making time for us on a Thanksgiving weekend where you had to work all day yesterday covering the Rams, and I guess you'll be back working today. We appreciate it. Thank you very much, everybody. Read Justin Michael at DNVR Rams. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving. And when we come back, Bruce Marshall, one of our favorites, visits the show from Gold Sheet. He's the world-class handicapper. He'll weigh in his prediction on the game, Michigan-Ohio State, the World Cup. He is a soccer aficionado and expert as well, edited a publication for that. And we'll finish up with what fixes the Denver Broncos.